the podcast for blind people about blind people. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's Blind Cool Tech.
And indeed, welcome to Blind Cool Tech. The jingle music you heard at the beginning of the show is from Marcus Quinzer from Germany, one of the Blind Cool Tech listeners in Europe. Marcus has sent along several of his musical pieces, and we'll feature some of those in today's show. And Marcus, and any of you other musicians out there, I really appreciate you sending this in. Some of this is some beautiful music, and all of it is well done and interesting. And this is one called Synth Dreams, or Synthesizer Dreams. Dreams from Marcus Quinzer of Germany. Thanks, Marcus, and we hope to be hearing more from you.
Blind Cool Tech Feedback.
Hello, this is Donna Lambert from Defiance, Ohio, and it's extremely early in the morning. But I just wanted to tell you how much I've thoroughly enjoyed, or have been enjoying, Blind Cool Tech. It is really neat. Now I've got, I didn't know what else I was going to say. I wanted to comment, yes, I I really enjoyed the latest. I listened to Chris and Marla going to do their errands, and I thought it was really neat. Some people might not like that kind of slice of life thing, but I think it's kind of refreshing to have just a relaxed atmosphere and everything. And even if there are moments of silence, that's okay too. And I've enjoyed several others. So please keep up the good work, and have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Bye for now.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Donna, and I totally agree with you. These moments of silence or even, you know, bloopers or embarrassments can be some of the best parts of some of these. Now, you know, that's not true for all of them, of course, but I agree with Donna. Do please keep up those sound seeing tour submissions. They're great.
Hi, I'm Lori. Join me and Marv for the Folk Connection every Saturday from 18 to 20 GMT. We're going to be playing the folk singers and songwriters of today, like Sean Colvin, John Gorka, Dar Williams, James Keelahan, David Wilcox, Bill Staines, and some you may never have heard of, like Show of Hands, Lisa Nemzo, and Brindle. And then there are the old standbys, the well-known ones everybody likes to hear, like Peter Paul and Mary and Judy Collins and Tom Paxton. That's the Folk Connection every Saturday from 18 to 20 GMT here on ACB Radio Interactive.
Hi, Larry. This is Bill Spirey in Springfield, Oregon. First, I'm going to take a stab at your mystery sound again. I think you've got one of two things. I'm going to give choice one and choice two. One sounds like it could be a bedspread or a blanket being whomped over a bed or in some other fashion, some sort of a large cloth like a bedspread or a blanket or something being whipped. And if that doesn't work, perhaps it's a car door slamming. Those are my guesses. Anyway, I had a suggestion for a possible podcast. You know, you've done a lot on recorders, and you've done a lot on microphones and a little bit on the book port. But I guess what I'm interested in, and I haven't found it amongst your things there, people say that some of the basic iPod devices themselves, some of the main market iPods, have some degree of accessibility. I haven't tried any of them, and perhaps you might do a little program or a little bit of discussion about some of the different iPods that are available out there and the level of accessibility for MP3 players or iPod devices that can download your program. I'm enjoying your show. Thanks, Larry, and happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to you, too. As you all can see, I've been terribly lax at keeping up with this feedback. But I do want to say, Bill, that we are going to give you that mystery sound. There was another guess on it on the last feedback show that was similar. What it really is, it is clothes. It's a load of clothes hitting the cement floor. You know, just a whole basket of clothes just dropped onto a cement floor. But you're right, you got the idea. It's a fabric, and I could see how you got a car door out of that too. So we'll have to get another mystery sound, and definitely congratulations. That's been the toughest one so far. As far as a cast on the iPod, I think that would be, or any of the models of the iPod, I think that would be a very educational for many of us. I haven't actually had my hands on one to use it for any amount of time either. So, you know, Jamie, Neil, one of you guys out there that's got a Shuffle or a Nano or even one of the traditional hard disk based iPods, that would be great to actually give us a demonstration and you know, walk through not only using it, but getting music to it. I think, I don't want to bias anybody, but as far as I can tell, it's a dreadful, dreadful experience, and it would be good to have it documented. Okay, moving right along.
Hey, Larry, it's Darren Duff calling again. I'm about to purchase some binaural mics for my Olympus WS-200, S, and I was curious if I'm going to get the, I think it's the SPF. Anyway, it's the ones that you have. I was wondering if you got that with or without the battery module, and if you got windscreens with your mics. I'm pretty sure you did get windscreens, but I'm thinking about purchasing those without the battery module, and I'm wondering if that would be pretty good with the, if that would work pretty good with the Lens SWS. Totally off that topic, I was wondering if Jake, when you pick up his, when you pick up his harness, does he just walk right into it? Because that's something I've noticed recently about Kenya. We've been together for about 9 months, and he will, it has been 9 months, about 9.5 months, and he's gotten to where I just pick up his harness, and he'll just stick his head right through. also, if he's in the other room and I shake it, he'll come running and stick his head right through. So anyway, that's a question I had for you. If that's something that's typical of dogs that, like to work a lot. I know you've had 5 of them, so that's why I ask. Nice job on your last few podcasts, and like all the sound thing tours and stuff going on. I do want to do a podcast on the Roomba Discover, and there's a few more things that I have lined up. I want to try to see if I can get them together. Anyway, see you next time. Bye.
All right, Darren, and I know you got the earphones already, but just for the, the microphones, just for the sake of other people's curiosity, though, you definitely do not need the battery pack when you're using those microphones with a device with a microphone input jack on it, like the WS-200S, any of the Olympus recorders, or the iRiver for that matter. The only time you would need that is like with the Arcos or another, the PTR-1 possibly, with a device that does not have a microphone input jack and where you're forced to use the line-in jack. And that battery presumably is going to amplify the or boost the signal enough to make it line level, loud enough for line level input. As far as the dog question, no, Jake doesn't particularly do that. My first dog did. He dove into it, and every one of them is, just like people, has been totally different. Jake actually will get up and stand in a particular spot, and I have to take about 3 steps over to him and put his harness on and stuff, and I don't mind that. That's fine. He would come if I wanted to, just this works out to be a pretty good way to do it. One of my shepherds didn't, he would hang his head down. Once he got it on and everything, he was okay. I guess he just knew he was going to work. So every one of them has been totally different, and that's a good sign when they love to get in there and work like that. But I, for those of you that have a dog that doesn't do that, that doesn't necessarily mean they don't want to work either.
Just wanted to let y'all know that y'all are doing a real good job. My name is Doug, and I am from Texas. And I hope to hear from each and every one of you very soon. Bye-bye.
Well, great, Doug. Thanks for, I guess you'd call it tuning in. Thanks for pointing your browser or your podcatcher to our feed. We need to come up with a short name for that besides tuning.
Hey Larry, this is Eric in Fountain Valley, California, and I found something that, well, actually I didn't find it. I have, my friend is the creator of it, but I wanted to share it with you and any of the other Blind Cool Tech listeners out there who might be interested. My friend makes accessible computer games for the blind. They're audio games. There's no visual. There's no visual component to them. They're audio games, but they're very well done. And you really, one I thought of you in particular because it's a bowling simulator. The game's called Pin Pin Alley, and it's a lot of fun. You can play it solo, or you can have other people playing with you, not online, but it's actually kind of fun. to have sighted bowlers try playing this, because they can actually, I've seen actual very good scores come from people who have never played an audio game before, but who know a bowling alley well enough, and they were able to do a very good job playing this game with a blind person. So it's very exciting. And the website is www.draconisentertainment, that's D as in David, R A C as in Charlie, O N as in November, I S as in Sam, and then entertainment, all run together as one long word, .com. And check it out. And I wish you happy gaming, because it's given me a lot of great games to play. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, that's keep up the great work, and talk to you soon.
Thanks. Thank you, Eric. We will check that out. As a matter of fact, there's been a lot of discussion about different ways to improve the frequently asked questions section of the website. And I think one of the categories in the frequently asked questions should be an audio games section, or perhaps more widely described as an accessible games section. And we've had a, we'll get into this discussion later, but I do want to check out this and some of the other audio games that have been presented on Blind Cool Tech over the last couple months. Really some interesting and innovative work going on here. So thank you for the information, Aaron.
Blind Cool Tech.
Special guest presentation.
Now here's Rick Harmon on how to keep SpyBot updated.
Okay, I've just brought SpyBot Search and Destroy up, and I'm going to show you how to get automatic updates for the program every time it's turned on.
Menu bar, file to navigate, mode, M, navigation, N.
Go to the navigation menu.
Menu, navigation menu, SpyBot dash S and D sub, settings sub menu, E.
Go to the settings sub menu.
Enter language, L, file sets, F. Settings,
go to settings again.
Enter, leaving menus, tree view installation open, 98 items.
You have a tree view list here. It's got 98 items in it. It's quite a ways down.
Right.
It's down on 58.
Left, include date and time and debug. Overwrite log file if existent. Left parent else append to it. Right parent. Vertical bar off, 70 of 98.
Whoops, I went too far.
Level 2, remind me to look for updates at program start. Vertical bar off, 60 of 98. Download, search the web for new versions of each program. Level 1, web update.
And what you're doing is you're looking for web update in the list.
Level 2, search the web for new versions of each program start. Vertical bar off, 58 of 98.
And where it says search for updates at each program start, yours will say off, most likely. Hit your space bar to toggle it.
Space confirmation, yes button to activate, press space bar.
You'll get a confirmation.
Confirmation, you should only check this if you are permanently connected to the internet or if you have a flat rate. Do you really want to enable auto dash check-in for updates, yes no?
It'll give you a confirmation dialog wanting to know if you're sure you want to do this. If you're on dial-up, you may not. If you're on broadband, it shouldn't be a problem. So I'm going to hit yes.
No button. Yes button, space, spike with dash search and destroy. Preview search the web for new versions of each program start. Vertical bar up, 58 of 98.
Okay, and to get out of this, I'm going to go up to file.
Alt F, menu, file menu, check for problems. To move through items, press up or down arrow, C. Exit, X.
I'm going to exit.
Enter, leaving menus.
I'm going to bring up SpyBot again.
Windows M, desktop, folder view, list view, SpyBot dash search and destroy, 22 of 25. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
And when it comes up, you'll hear it saying checking for updates.
Enter. Update progress, cancel button to activate, press space bar. SpyBot dash search and destroy, check for problems button to activate, press space bar. Alt-C.
Okay, and as you can hear, when it came up, it automatically did a web update. Went and looked for any updates it needed, and then it come back once it was done and come to where you could do your normal check. This is a lot easier than trying to maneuver around the bar, the menu bar. You can do it from the menu, but once you get in it, it's kind of hard to maneuver around without using the JAWS cursor, and you got to hit it just right to get it to work, and I had a lot of trouble. This way works so much better, and just like the on the spyware review that was just done, he said he had a hard time with doing the updates without sighted assistance. This should alleviate that problem. This is just an addendum to the spyware podcast that was just done, and I hope this is helpful to anybody using SpyBot Search and Destroy. Thank you.
Yes, hello, this is Blind Quartet.
Hi, Larry, this is Rich C. from New York. I have a question regarding Studio Recorder. I'm curious, why, for example, I record podcasts using Studio Recorder, and when I export an MP3, it seems to take quite a long time to export. When I record it in SoundForge or something like that, I guess it doesn't seem to take as long. I'm just curious, is there a reason for this? Thanks, Larry, and you did great work. I look forward to more Blind Cool Tech. Bye.
Hey, Rich, I will check with Rob. In fact, I did ask Rob about this. I don't remember exactly what he said, though. One of the things I think that will help in this case, though, is that in the beta of Studio Recorder, which will actually be released probably next week, you can process the MP3 encoding in the background. So it won't be any faster. In fact, it might be just a sliver slower, but at least it won't hold you up while you continue to do other things in the program. I will try to get some more information about the speed difference, though, because there shouldn't be.
Hey, Larry, it's Lynette. Haven't heard from you too much on the list, but I've definitely been trying to keep up with the podcast, and I wanted to tell you how much I truly enjoyed your Thanksgiving format. That was really clever. I think it sort of bounced off of Kai's introduction, and then your vocal table of contents was quite innovative. And I think that you are the Adam Curry of the Blind Bunch. So I think it's great. The podcast was wonderful. Mars is, as always, adorable, and your interaction with her is just charming. So take care, have a great day, and looking forward to your next endeavor. Bye.
Hey, Lynette, thank you so much for the comments. And the only thing I guess I can really say about being the Adam Curry of blind podcasting is, just kidding. Thanks for the comments, Lynette.
Hey, Larry and Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Randy Gilkey from Oak Hill, West Virginia. Just wanted to say that I really love the show and really enjoy listening to these podcasts. Really inspirational for me. When I graduated high school about 10 or so years ago, I quit using my cane and just kind of tried to hide the fact that I was blind, and just, I don't know what I was thinking at the time, but I started using a cane again, and want to perhaps look into getting a guide dog to listen to Larry walk to work with his dog. That's really neat to hear that, because it's just how he gets there and just to where he needs to go. That's really awesome. I'm a musician. Been playing piano and keyboards about all my life, but I play other instruments as well. And I've only been using the computer again for about a year. When I was in school, I used to use an old Apple IIe and an Echo speech synthesizer. I graduated high school in 1994. So it's several years before. I've just been using the computer again here for about a year, and so this whole computer thing has changed my life, and the internet and Blind Cool Tech, it's all really changed my life, because I realize now that there's other blind folks out there to talk to and bounce ideas off of, and it's really allowed me to grow as a person. I'd like to thank you, Larry, for the show, and thank all the folks who sent in submissions, and I'm going to be sending in a submission too really soon. I just got get me some kind of setup together to record something. I mean, I have a recording studio here at my house, but all that stuff's not really practical. But thank you, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Well, Randy, that is what I love to hear. Man, that alone is worth, I think, everything everyone has done on Blind Cool Tech. You know, and I think, like you see, everybody that's talking here and showing us how to do different things in different ways, nothing to it, man. Piece of cake. All right, glad to have you on board, and we are looking forward to hearing more from you, Randy.
Hey, it's Joe Quinn. I have a question for you today. Is there a way of uploading content from your computadora to an FTP site on our media? I thought there was, but maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm just wishing. Because I just signed up with them, and I got my first podcast. And I'm now setting my FeedBurner feed to the iMedia feed. So, I don't know if there's a better way to use than going to the website, doing that crap, or using the iMedia publisher tool, because I had an error with that a couple days ago, and I was pleased. So I don't want to, you know, it's annoying, but yeah. So let me know if there is a way. I thought you said there was, but maybe not. Maybe that's the blind tech thing, but I thought there was a way. Please let me know, because I want to do this as soon as possible. I have the first edition of my show, which I shall tell you more about later. The address is feeds.feedburner.com/JDawg. That's JDWG, I think. If it's changed, I will let you know, but it is active at that address, as far as I know, as of now, and I just have to do stuff. So, let me know. Thanks.
All right, Joe. Actually, I've got a little bit of experience with our media now, and this may be of interest to some of you. Really, the best way to do it would be to automate it so that you could just, you know, execute a batch file or a script or whatever, and provided you had the right information in the tags, just be done with it. And I've looked at the source code to our media publisher. Now, before I get off on that tangent, though, let me just say that our media publisher definitely is the way to go. If it crashes, it's usually a problem on the server, because you can't do it by hand either. And the only thing that I've found to do is just wait. Wait a couple hours, try it again. That happened to me actually on that Thanksgiving show. I ended up just putting the show on my server and letting it feed from there until they got their act together, and I got mine uploaded there, and then just changed the feed. So, I haven't seen it do that in quite a while now, so maybe they fixed something. But the real way to do this would be to have a script, and I've briefly looked into the source code. It's this Our Media Publisher is an open source project. I don't know yet enough about PHP and a couple of other things to make this happen, but what I would love to see is just to prepare the file ahead of time with the ID3 tags and just let you have a command that would just let her rip. Right now, you know, you have to fill out all that stuff, and most of it is it's just busy work, picking the file and filling in things that it grabbed from the ID3 tags anyway, so there really is a better way to do this, and excuse me, that's one of my priorities for this year, is to look into that a little more. And if there's some programmers among you, Tim, I know you offer to do some stuff with the Wiki. I'd sure be glad to have some help in that area. I think, you know, if we could develop a script that would upload to archive.org or through our media and did it the right way, where they could get the info they needed, and, you know, we could automate it a little bit without having to go through all these steps, I think that would be great.
Larry, it's Joe Quinn again. Just an update. I found the way to archive, to upload stuff to our media, so I guess I don't need you to answer that question anyways. Sorry if you already did.
That's all right,
Joe. My feed address, again, I updated it. I wasn't able to change the original feed. So the one I gave earlier is to my blog. If I ever post, like, phone posts and stuff, y'all can subscribe to that if you want to, too. But there may not be much on that front. The feed for my actual show is... feeds.feedburner.com/dogcast. That's DAWGCAST. Feeds.feedburner.com/dogcast.
Larry, this is Steve Bauer from Wichita, Kansas. Just sitting here tracking a package on FedEx. And there is definitely a way that you can have the email information, well, the information sent to you by email anyway. But wouldn't it be cool if these sites such as FedEx and UPS and DHL could have it set up that you could have your tracking information automatically emailed to you every time there was a change in the status? I think that would be a cool thing to do. I don't know why they haven't thought of it yet.
You're absolutely right, Steve. I don't know why they hadn't thought of it yet. That is a great idea. It seems like it would be easy for the carrier to implement as well. We'll have to drop it in their suggestion box.
Barker. Hi, Larry. This is Lisa Hall in San Antonio, Texas. I just got finished listening to the last podcast of the Studio Recorder. I thought it had to be pretty funny when I heard Jake, and it sounded like he was trying to bark or something. I couldn't make out, but it's just so funny how it came out on the end. The other thing I really liked, on one of your earlier podcasts of November the 19th, if I remember the date right, when you had Molly, your granddaughter, with the little dog that had to be wind up, that came with the Happy Meal. I thought that was kind of cool.
All right, Lisa. Good to hear from you again. And we enjoyed the Braille Proclamation cast you provided for us. Keep up the good work there.
Hello, Larry. My name is Z. Sam. First name is Z. Z as in Victor. Y. Last name is Sam. T as in Paul. H-A-M. I am also another blind person, and I enjoy Blind Cool Tech very much. I've been listening to it, all the different careers from different people. And thank you for providing us such a wonderful website where we can check out, you know, different types of software and listen to different careers. Because I'm a college student, and I love to listen to people, different types of career, as a blind perspective. So I would like to learn from those people as well. So thank you very much. Another question I would like to ask you is, I was looking on the website, and I couldn't find Mary Amerson or something, the one that used to work for IBM, but the one that's working for one of those community colleges in California, that she has a special type of scanner that would scan the book in half an hour. It cost that about $7,000. I would like to either keep in touch with her, because I would like to find out more about that type of scanner, and maybe I was very impressed when I listened to her about her life and, you know, the career that she's doing. So I would like to keep in touch with her if that is possible. If not, then can you please upload her presentation on the website again, because I wasn't able to find it. Thank you very much, and I know I talk too much on here, but I hope it's clear, and I hope that you'll be able to understand what I'm saying and, know what I need. Okay, thank you very much, and once again, thank you for providing such a wonderful website. I'll try to go on there, you know, almost every week. So, you know, I just enjoy it very much.
Okay, thank you. That's Debbie Norling who you are referring to, and her presentation is still up there on the website. She is a very, very impressive lady. I've known Debbie for, gosh, probably, what, 20 years or so? And, I mean, like she said on her presentation, she had her own software company, developed her own screen reader. And it's a funny thing, I know her husband now, too. I've actually been doing a little work with him. Small world. But, yeah, also, if anyone else knows anything about any of these high-speed scanners, I know we're using some of them at APH. That would, you know, that'd be an interesting topic to get an update on those and some background and information. So if anyone knows more about that, please do share with us.
Hi, Larry. My name's Mark Fink. I just wanted to let you know that I've kind of stumbled across Blind Cool Tech, and I'm downloading and enjoying some of the demonstrations. I guess I'm kind of one disappointment thing on the blindcooltech.web webpage is that some of the episodes are missing. It might say this is part 3 on microphone placement, and I've missed the first two parts. So that's stuff I'm sorry, I missed, what can I say? I listened to it early on, I guess, maybe last spring or something like that, because I remember some of the things you might have had on there, and I wasn't too excited, but some of the demos I've been picking and choosing, and it's nice that you have all the archives there.
Actually, all those episodes should be up there. We do need to come up with a much better way of indexing and categorizing, and that is something that we'll be doing this year.
Yeah, hi, Larry. It's Chris Peffel from Arlington, Mass., and I have sent you a few emails, but I couldn't resist putting this number into my telephone. I have the Ford LGVX 4500, and you are right. Basic features just aren't enough, and I would have gone to the Nokia had I had the money at the time, but I didn't. And, of course, as you well know, Verizon has not improved on its product, even with the 4650. But at any rate, that was quite a demonstration. It was quite impressive. But I think I just wanted to point out again that you were absolutely right as far as, like, the Verizon phones, that they just give you basic menu features. And that really isn't enough for what we want to or need to do. Okay, thanks a lot, and keep up the great work. Bye now.
Hey, thank you for calling in, Chris. You're right. That's just not enough now that we've been exposed to what is possible. I'm really interested, in fact, in the cell phones on the PDA platforms. We've got a HP 6315, I believe it is. That's a PDA and a cell phone combined. And I actually took the chip out of my Nokia cell phone and put it into this thing, and it worked as a phone just fine, no problems at all. So unfortunately, that's not one of the models that MobileSpeak Pocket supports. So if any of you out there do get a cell phone PDA combo type device, we'd sure be interested in hearing about it here on Blind Cool Tech. The thing about them, it seems like it adds several hundred dollars to the price of a PDA to have the cell phone capability. At least that's the way it is from my limited observation of this so far.
Hi, this is Beth in Newport News, Virginia, with the Newport News crud. Please don't get whatever your town's crud's name is. It is no fun. I really, really enjoyed Neil Ewer's podcast using the Kurzweil keyboard. It was absolutely stunning, Neil. And please do one about the keyboard itself, accessibility, and if manuals are available, and where to get them, and where to get the keyboard, and just everything, anything and everything about it. That was absolutely awesome. And also to Donna, really enjoyed your piece on the hexabits. I'd never heard of that before. and on Christmas wrapping. Yeah, I'm very unneat at wrapping also. And in later years, I've just handed people their presents and said, you don't want to see me wrap anything. So here, Merry Christmas, enjoy. And everybody gets a laugh out of it. Nobody cares. So that's how I get around it. But I enjoyed her description of how she does it. And yes, Donna, it would be very interesting to hear you do some grocery shopping or whatever you have in mind online. Yes, there is grocery shopping here in the States online, but I don't know how available that is. We certainly do not have, at least in my area, that much, if any, delivery, grocery delivery. And that used to be a bigger thing, home delivery. Okay, gang, I think that's about it from me for now. So Merry Christmas, everybody, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, too, Beth. By the way, this is February 12th. We're just trying to catch up with the feedback from the past month or two here. So,
hey, guys, it's Beth again. Sounding better now. Just wondering, does anybody have any idea where to get an SAP receiver on which you can hear the DVS for TV programs? It, as far as I can tell, is a standalone receiver that you, and it, I believe it also has a TV channel on it. And you, I guess it's battery powered, and you can hear your TV show and the SAP, you know, the DVS under it. And from what I read, you can get these at your public, excuse me, public TV station. Well, I've written to mine and haven't gotten an answer yet because I just wrote, but I was just curious as to if you guys have ever heard of or used any such thing. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Beth, actually, what's going on now is most of the newer televisions have the SAP built into them. Getting to that is a nightmare, though. Usually what you'll have to do is get a sighted person to turn on the SAP for you, and you'll have it on. It's interesting. I'd like to discuss more about DVS, Descriptive Video Services, on Blind Cool Tech. I looked into it a little bit here about a year ago. And at that time, and as far as I can remember, the top 50 markets in the country were somehow mandated to provide X number of hours of DVS on their primetime shows. Now, Louisville wasn't in top 50 markets. I have turned on the SAP on my television. No, I shut it off on the television. Wait a minute, how is this working? Apparently these are on a per-channel basis. That's right, because when I turn on the Weather Channel on television and turn on the DVS, I don't get any of the audio from the television. It's just the NOAA Weather Radio. But on the PBS station, I guess what you don't get any of the audio. They're just replacing the audio and adding DVS to it. So I was actually a little surprised to hear that in the Louisville Market's PBS station actually does have some descriptive video. And if you haven't heard it, this is kind of what it
later,
sounds
Clifford,
like.
Later, Clifford, Cleo, and T-Bone are walking down the sidewalk, leaving a smelly trail behind them. Flowers droop as the dogs pass.
That was a great place to play.
It sure was. I can't believe we've never been there before.
Do you guys smell something kind of funny?
Cleo sniffs the air.
Yeah.
She sniffs T-Bone, then suddenly pulls away.
Ugh, I think it's T-Bone.
Hey!
T-Bone sniffs Cleo.
I think it's you!
He holds his nose. Clifford smells his own paw.
I think it's me!
The podcast for blind people about blind people. It's fun, it's entertaining, it's Blind Cool Tech.
This is another song from Marcus Quinzer from Germany. This one is called Psalm, P-S-A-L-M. kick back, grab a cup of coffee, and check this one out. It is good.
Hi, Larry. This is John Stiers from Portland, Oregon. And number one, I'll take a shot at your mystery sound number 10. Sounds like a real good way to test out microphones to me, especially since it was in stereo. and I had an interesting question. I happen to own an iRiver H1020GC, and I'm wondering if you know whether or not the Rockbox software will work with it, and how to download the material and just what to download for it if it does. So I'll wait to hear your answer. Thank you very much.
Hey, John. Thanks for calling in. And you might want to check out Christian Wawell's podcast of the iRiver with the Rockbox firmware on it. I believe it does work with the 20 gig version as well. So check back through on Blind Cool Tech there, and he did an excellent description of how it works and where to get it and how to install it and all.
Hi, Larry. This is Rich C. from New York. I want to say I'm really enjoying your podcast. I want to wish you a happy new year. Hope you had a great holiday. I'm wondering, I'm sure you remember Rob Meredith doing that excellent review of the Eddie Rowe R1, and actually subsequent to Rob's review, and also because Jonathan Rosen was raving about it as well. I got an Eddie Rowe R1 for Christmas, and I'm really liking it. I'm wondering if you, have you personally checked out the R1, and what are your thoughts on it? All right, Larry, we'll keep up the great work. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Rich, I have checked out some of your podcasts using that Eddie Rowe R1, and it sounds terrific. I like the machine as well, especially the fact that it has the built-in microphones and the limiter in there. It's just, I wish it was smaller. It's just a little bit too big. And that's one thing I really like about the MicroTrack. There's a lot I don't like about the MicroTrack, though, as well. But they both make some terrific recordings. Of course, the MicroTrack does not have the limiter or the built-in microphone, so that's a couple of things against it. But really looking forward to the day when we can see a totally accessible high-end digital recorder, as I know you are.
Hi, Larry. This is Michael. I really enjoy your podcast, but I find that I don't have as much time to dedicate to it as I might like. And I figure there's two solutions to the problem. Firstly, on those days that you decide to walk home or to work, you could run instead of walk, and you could skip actually waiting for the street signs and just run through the street. It would speed the podcast up considerably, perhaps bringing it from, say, half an hour to 45 minutes down to maybe 20. But if that idea doesn't appeal to you, I wondered if you could do a review on time-stretching software. I discovered I can do it with SoundForge, but I'm guessing most of your listeners don't own that kind of equipment, software. So I'm wondering if there are free or low-cost solutions that would allow you to plug into Winamp, or perhaps batch converters that you could put your podcasts through, so that podcasts like yours that are basically spoken word and easy to listen to could be sped up. One of the things I love is my little handy cassette where I can speed things up but keep the pitch the same. So I guess essentially what I'm asking is, are there low-cost or free either pieces of software or plugins to Winamp that would allow you to speed up a file to, say, maybe twice its speed? I know Windows Media Player will do it. I was not that impressed when I tried it, though. It didn't seem to speed up all that much. Thanks for your time. It's a great show, and this is a question that I have not asked people in a couple of years, so I'm hoping there's some advances. If not, and if APH wants a project to take on, I think a low-cost Winamp plugin that could do that, that could speed up speech, would be really, really cool. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you. The only problem with running is I would have to talk twice as fast, and I don't know if I'd be capable of that or not. Now, we've got actually the media player time scale modification functions are pretty comprehensive. At first glance, they don't seem to be too good because you just get a slow, a normal, and a fast. But you can actually go in and adjust those. And you're right, a good demonstration of that would be a fine thing. I don't know what the situation is with Winamp plugins. I'll bet somebody out there does and would be glad to tell us. It seems like I've heard of a TSM plugin so that a person could listen to these things at a, you know, I'm sure you're talking about speeding them up without affecting the pitch of them. So,
Hi, Larry. This is Lynette, and I just wanted to leave a comment saying how much I have enjoyed your most recent podcast. I'm going to try to remember them in order, but probably not. Anyway, the last one, the laundry, was just charming. Marley is just so adorable, and that is really adorable. It's cute. What can I tell you? My laundry doing is just not that fun, so you're a lucky guy. And I don't think I can get my little nieces and nephews to help with the laundry yet because they're not here with me. But regarding your, I think it was the Net Library, we have something like that here through the New York Public Library. I have not really dived in too much, but hearing your, you know, tour made me at least want to explore it. And I've always wondered about the e-books and how accessible they are and
so forth. But actually, I have so much to listen to between Audible and podcasts and the occasional text file that I throw onto my now working Bookport. I just don't know where I would find the time in the day. But once again, fantastic for Blind Cool Tech, and I'm going to keep listening. All right, you take care. Bye.
I hope you'll keep contributing as well, Lynette. The e-books are really exciting. It's amazing to be able to have more information than we can deal with, as opposed to the way it was 20 years ago when we were really struggling to get access to any kind of information at all. So at least we have made some decent progress in the right direction.
Yes, my name is Hank, and I have a question for you. I was wondering if you could go over what versions of the Archel Jukebox, one, record, and two, which ones either A, have an internal mic, or B, can run a external stereo microphone or line-in jack with ease without having any adapters or anything. I'm thinking about looking into getting one of the Archel jukeboxes off of eBay and was wanting to know which ones work for recording, both anything from my voice and, you know, to the radio to, you know, whatever I want. Maybe we'd be using this for a recording thing. And I've obviously going to be using the Rockbox, Rockbox software. Anyway, if you could kind of go into a little bit more detail on your comment thing, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, keep up the awesome work. You guys rock. I tell you, you guys are absolutely cool. So, alright, thanks. This is Hank. Bye.
Unfortunately, I don't really know all the different Arcos models, but there's some good information at rockbox.org where you can probably especially go into the wiki and get information about exactly which models Rockbox runs on, and obviously which ones have the recorders. I know the Arcos Jukebox V2 recorder has a recorder, and there's several models that came out after that that do as well. I just happen to have that one. I'm certainly not an expert on all the different Arcos models, but I'm sure if anyone's listening, they'll be happy to send in some more information about that. Well, that was a hang up.
Hi, my name is Arnold Echo, and I just want to put a comment that I really enjoyed your review on the accessibility and also for MP3 recorders, and also the one where you have the hour pick. I think that was the IHP at the time, IHP 8899 for iRiver, and just wondering if you would have any, you would consider doing another one of the hour pick for the MP3 recorder, since there's been other developments, like that particular model, the iRiver, was discontinued, along with some of the 300 series, like the WS320 that was reviewed by someone else. But also with the fact that the Rockbox, it seems like there are more and more devices where Rockbox can be used, like the H10, the lower iRiver models. So with those in mind, I was just wondering if you guys have thought of any review or along those lines based on the new development and the newer development with Rockbox. All
keep up the good work. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, that's a great idea. With the fast movement of these things, we need to keep that current. And for the inexpensive, easy-to-use, quick-use digital recorder, hands down, nowadays, it's got to be the Olympus WS320M. What an ingenious piece of engineering that device is. I'm not happy at all about the limiting they do of the sample rate on it, or the bit rate, to 64 kbps, but it still makes a good recording. For the higher-end stuff, the iRiver hard disk players, like you mentioned there, I don't personally have one of those, but from what I've heard from Christian, and I know Jim Fiddler uses one, sounds like an excellent machine as well.
Hi, Larry. Mark Sank in Pittsburgh. Just listened to your review of the PDA, and picky here, you have the AXUM, and I think it's AXIM, Azim, Axim, I don't know how you pronounce that properly. Azim, I think it is. But minor misspelling. But it was interesting. I'd like to hear more about that. It's cool to hear the podcast played over that. And it's an experience with an older Azim 5, which I don't think had a hard drive. Didn't seem to have as much features, nor the wireless, but I always thought that might be cool because I hear some of these applications like GPS. You know, you get these little compact flash GPS cards, and I've heard applications designed for, you know, you put that up on your dashboard, and it might give you turn by turn and cost a lot less than the $1,000 talking GPS dedicated devices. So anyway, that might be fun to check out. All right, keep up the good work. I've got one of the millions of people who got an iPod Shuffle for Christmas and listened to podcasts for a week or so, and now I find that I've got like 8 gigabytes of podcasts on my hard drive and not enough time to listen to them. So hang it in there. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that is quite a little piece of hardware. That has got a processor in it that's actually faster than one of the desktops that I'm running a Linux box on here in my basement. That's running a 620 or might be 625 megahertz ARM processor. So it's pretty amazing what they can pack into that small a device. And I think we'll be hearing a lot more about that and some of the other PDAs. As I mentioned a little earlier, what I'd really like to do is get the PDA with the cell phone both on the same device. So I'm sure we'll be seeing some developments in that area soon.
Hello, Larry, and all Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Rich C. out of New York, and I want to tell you about this very cool service that I discovered thanks to the Carry Live and Everywhere podcast called GCast, that's G as in golf, cast.com. A new service which for free will allow you to make your own podcast. You obviously get the XML feed that you can paste, your RSS feed that you can paste into your podcast, or if you want to subscribe. And the best part about this service is not only that it's free and that you can create your own podcast and you can upload your MP3s to the site, is that with this service you can create a phone post. You dial a number, enter your PIN, and you can record your own podcast. I don't know if there's a time limit yet. To how long it can be, and then you can post it to GCast, and people will get it in their iPod, in their juice receivers. So it's a very cool service. I have actually created a second feed. I'm starting a second podcast. I won't tell you guys what it's about yet, but you'll find out about it very soon, probably in about a week or so. So if you're on the Blind casting list, I will be sending that feed around, and also on the Blind Cool Tech list. All right, everyone. Well, just want to tell you all about GCast.com. Check it out. And this is really cool because now many more people will be able to get into podcasting, and it should be a great service. Hopefully it stays free, but who knows what's going to happen. So GCast.com. Bye, everybody.
Excellent information there, Rich. Appreciate that. You're right. That's really going to equalize the playing field One of the things I've always said is that, you know, it's so easy to record over a phone. And these guys took that next step and made it so that pretty much anybody with a phone can do a podcast now. Fantastic. And, you know, even if it costs a few dollars, hey, that's not that big a deal.
Coming to you pre-recorded from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
That's going to do it for us for this week. Hopefully we'll try to do these feedback shows a little more frequently. I don't like to say we'll do them every week. I was trying to do that for a while, but that's probably not really going to work out. We'll do them as we can, though, and appreciate hearing your comments and keep them coming. We're going to close the show with another song from Marcus Quinzer. This one is called Präsentation, I believe. It's probably a German spelling, so I'm not sure I've got that right or not. But check it out. It's good stuff, and we will see you guys soon.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech, the podcast for blind people about blind people and issues, with Larry Skutkan. To contact Blind Cool Tech, leave a comment on the audio line at 206-984-9203. Email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com or visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com.